WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bauer Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
That we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button on the bottom screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
E-A-G-L-E-S Eagle? Oh, it's NFL draft night.
It is draft night, yes.
Britt Baker was there. Well, what else does she have to do? In case people forgot, she is a pro wrestler. She hasn't pro wrestled in almost 2 years, but hey, she is a pro wrestler and has a contract somewhere. Who knows? Anyway, you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lens Work, come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live here tonight, chat, because we're here to give you the final word on WrestleMania, which was, I think, one of the most decisive shows ever. For the fans?
I think it was a good show. I don't think it was a barn burner of a show, but I think it was a good show. I think night two was better than night one.
Oh, night two was clearly better than night one, but again, night one had a lot of moments that, again, will go down in history as some of the bigger moments you'll see, because we had returns, surprises, a pregnancy announcement that you can't go back on because, well, Montez did not. Montez didn't pull out. I was going to say, John Cena makes like major life announcements at WrestleMania. Well, you know.
Well, take her to the Hall of Fame, so Cena has to do something. So what? Do you know the irony of John Cena doing the baby announcements?
Oh, I know. It's tremendous.
It's fantastic.
It is the best thing you'll see on television.
What I don't understand, and the one thing I just did not like about this show, before we kind of get into it, because I do want to bring it up. Why did night one and night two have two different themes? Vastly different themes on top of it. I'm not talking about like, oh, you know, different colors. No, I'm talking about one was like Fallout, Mad Max, destroyed Vegas. Like it was almost like a Fallout theme. And then the other one was just your standard generic futuristic blue WrestleMania theme. I mean,
the first night's theme represented what the main event of the show was. It was a disaster.
Was it that bad?
No, I actually like the main event. But no, it made the stage look that more impressive with the black and blue.
Yeah, night two. I love the graphics for night two because they were so clean and simple. And it's like, to me, that felt like WrestleMania because WrestleMania is kind of synonymous with the blues. Anytime they promote WrestleMania, it typically has some kind of blue theme to it. So, yeah. Like the blue and the gold, which are the classic WWE colors or the old colors, but they've stayed pretty consistent with Mania throughout the years of keeping it majority of the time blue or having blue in there somewhere. So like I really like night twos, like with the lighting, because they were using like all the white lights, and so it made the space like illuminated and felt bigger because you could see the whole space. Like I just liked the feeling of night two better, and that's why I was like, why was night one different? We could have had both.
Because they decided to create two different themes.
But why?
I don't know. Go ask them.
Dear John Wrestling, Connecticut Edition, why did you have two themes? Please let me know. Okay, thanks. Bye. Done.
There you go. You'll get your answer in 4 to 6 years.
Okay.
But like this show got people talking, and I've seen some of the worst takes in history when it comes to the show. Why do old men watch this wrestling stuff? Like, and then we're going to bring said reporter on radio shows to have him discuss his reasoning for it. Like, stop giving people attention that don't need to be attention. This show was soulless. Like, no, it was not soulless. Did it have a lot of ads? Yes. But shows have had all the ads for ages. This one, they just throw it in your face. Do we want to go back to the era of having wrestlers cut skits about wrestling, about the ads they're putting in the show, and complaining about them? Because we could go back to that.
We could go, like, they had almost no backstage segments the entire show. I think night two might have had, like,
but they haven't, they don't one? Really do, they don't do them often to begin with.
I know that, but like, if you think of WrestleMania's past, like, essentially where the commercial breaks would have been, or where they were, is where the backstage segments and the other filler content would go. That's exactly where that goes, is because you still had the same amount of wait time between matches. That's the thing. You still had that time. You just had different content there to fill that gap, because they have to set up the entrances and they have to do everything else that they do in between the matches, right? Because like, if you don't have the special entrances, people bitch. If you do have the special entrances, people bitch. Like, you can't win there. But like, the part of the spectacle that is WrestleMania is that you have those entrances and you have that grander, more glory, like, or not glory, but like grander, larger than life, like, perception of what this business really is.
And back when it was on Peacock, it was for Peacock Plus members or premium members, you got to see the video packages. Everyone else got ads. Everyone else got ads if you didn't have the special plan. But here, there's no other feed. It's just ads. And guess what? We had them at Elimination Chamber. We had them at the Royal Rumble. They're always going to be there. It's just the way it is. Is it overdoing it? Yes. But guess what? I don't care.
I will say this. My one qualm with the ads, and I will give this one. There was a difference between watching on PC and watching on TV. If you had it on TV, you actually got all the ads and all the commercials. If you were watching on PC, you only got, I was only getting like maybe one or two ads while watching on PC, and then the rest of the time was just dead air with a slate. So I could see I can see from that perspective how, yeah, that's not a good look. That's not entertaining. you know, especially if it's like 10 minutes in between or whatever it is, and you just have a blank screen essentially, or like a still screen with music, and you're just sitting there waiting for something to happen. I think they could have managed that a little bit better. Perspective of entertaining people, especially if they knew that's how that was going to go.
But that was I did not see anyone's complaint but yours about that. Everyone was complaining about the Hulk Hogan documentary that was airing on Netflix. So congrats, you internet people who streamed it and watched the international version of on Netflix. We see you.
We know you were stealing the feed.
We see you. Cause, you know, it's just, it is what it is. Guess what? It is what it is. It's the fact of the way business.
Here's the thing. Advertising, the way that WWE is able to put on a $50 to $100 million show once a year, because that's probably the cost of WrestleMania, if not more, depending, because the pyro alone is expensive as fuck. The way they do that is using other people's monies. So they sell ad time and sponsorships to companies like Snickers, to companies like The General, and they sell those for a pretty penny. It's very much in line with the Super Bowl. It's what the NFL does with the Super Bowl, right? They sell ad time, they sell ad placement, they sell all kinds of things to get the sponsorship to basically help offset the cost of the show. Like that's how that all works. That's how you get that show put on, and that's how WWE helps to turn a profit on WrestleMania, so they don't have to necessarily rely on gate to do it.
Also, when ESPN is paying billions to WWE, they have to recover their costs with the ads.
Yes. So, and that's the other side of it.
That's why you get them. Because ESPN is paying for content. They're paying for golf. They're paying for NHL. They're paying for WWE. They're paying for all this content. They have to pay for it somehow. So how what they do it? They sell sponsorship on all their programming that airs on that app. Every single thing on the app has sponsorship.
Actually, if you really want me to explain how that works, ESPN doesn't even necessarily have control over it. It's done through the content providers for the commercials, and advertisers can buy space. Like people were actually selling space for WrestleMania.
Yeah,
it was included in a package, but it wasn't necessarily sold by ESPN.
I didn't mean it was sold by ESPN. It's just that that's how they make their money. That's how they're making their money back. It's business. It's the way things evolve. But here's the thing. No one, and this is the side tangent of, okay, so the other company, AEW, they don't run ads. Congratulations, you're paying $50 for their event.
Yeah, that's the other side of that.
Majority of the people who are watching through ESPN Unlimited get it through their cable provider, because that's the way business is. It's free. Are there people paying $30 for it? Yes. And should you have the right to complain? Kind of, but you also pay for cable and go through every single cable channel you have. Name one that doesn't have ads. I'm going to stop you. Every single cable channel has ads.
Yep.
Just put that one out there. Ads have been there since the beginning of time. It's just the way it is. So it's like, I get it. I get the frustration with the ads, but to me it's like, it's 4 minutes. You get up, you move around, you stretch your legs. It's simple.
I don't know why, but I feel like night one moved better than night two, and it could be because they front loaded the ads in night one. I will say
night two was better on ads without them.
Well, that's why I say they front loaded night one, so they put essentially a lot of the advertising slots on night one, so night two would have less.
Yeah, because like the last 90 minutes, and I think they cut back on them because complaining.
Yeah,
but the last 90 minutes had I think 4 minutes of ads or so. Before the main event, like the Danhausen Cena segment, and then the main event. I think the last ad break was like at 8, and the show ended like at 9:30. I could be wrong, but that's the way I remember it feeling.
I think you're correct, because I think that's what everybody said, and that could be why night one felt a little bit better. Because I will agree, like an ad after every single match on night one, that was tedious. That was a tad tedious. Like, I understand they have to do it. I get it's business, because I work in that industry, so I understand it. But it was tedious. And I can see how the audience would grow weary of that if it's every single match, right? Because it just drags the show out, and it sort of pulls the immersion of the show. And it's literally match commercial. And it's kind of like it's hard to stay in the show. Whereas on night two, you had less commercials, especially towards the end, which is when you're building to the main events. And so you're excited because you're building to the main events and you stay in it better. And that did have a better feeling. So I can definitely agree with the fact that night one being front loaded was a tad bit tedious. But again, I understand why they did it and why they have to do it. They need to make money, guys. It's the end of the story. They're trying to make money like the rest of us. Is.
Yeah. Like everything was like, oh my God, WWE, I saw one thing is like, this is the most amount of money that WWE fans have ever paid for a premium live event, and it has ads? Sir, ma'am, whoever wrote the article, let me tell you about pay-per-view and how they were $40 to $50 a piece, sometimes $60. This is not the most a WWE fan has ever paid for WWE premium live event. Let me tell you that. You know, like, sometimes I probably it's like, well, this is the most they've ever done. And sometimes you need to do your facts, because that's the biggest complaint I had was people who talked. It's like none of them brought up facts. They just went, oh, we're spouting off about this and spouting off about that. It's like, no, you're just making up shit. And the biggest complaint, again, it goes back to the stopwatch people. This is the amount of time they had the in-ring action, and this is the amount of time they had ads. But you're missing, so when you do the math, they're missing like 3 hours. So we're just skipping over all the presentation they put together. You're discrediting all the work the hundreds of people put in to make this show what it was. Like, come on. Like,
that got really annoying. That sort of like ruined the event a little bit.
It did.
In a lot of ways.
It became very frustrating and tiresome. And just like, and everyone was doing the same thing, and they weren't saying anything original. Everyone's just copying whatever someone else said. It's like, no. If you're an actual fan, you're paying attention to the show and you're not giving a shit about the ads. But if you want to go on the internet and make a fool out of yourself, go on the internet and make a fool out of yourself and complain about the amount of ads. Stop watching the fucking product if you hate it so much. End rant.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with that. I understand there are people who do it for Wiki, right? That they sit there and they get the match times for Wiki, and that's fine. Right?
They were all wrong, by the way. Everyone had a different fucking time for the women's match. Like, come on. Some said six, some said nine. Figure it out.
He's very passionate about it, guys. But the people who are just like, oh, it was this, and it was this, and it was this. It's just like, what do you want? Like, are you actually watching this show and absorbing this show? Or are you sitting there timing everything? And then it's like they couldn't agree on when to start the timing, when to end the timing. Everybody was doing their own thing with it. And then, like, after night one, I saw nothing but headlines about it where they're like, oh, WrestleMania had an hour of commercials on a four-hour show. And time out the NFL. I promise you, the NFL is exactly the same.
Whistle to whistle, 60 minutes. You can't change a fact because it has a clock.
But the games are 3 to 4 hours long.
Exactly.
Because you have all the backfill content. So, you have
commercials,
like,
commercials and huddles and all the things, but you don't count that for wrestling. You count bell to bell. So count bell to whistle to whistle, 60 minutes. It's what you get in the NFL for 3 hours of content.
But that, I think, was like the worst thing about the weekend was just the people who were doing the stopwatch stuff.
It was everyone on the internet was the worst because it's just so. And then you take the everyone. So what that does, and we'll get to the show here in a second. It's you have the internet take on the thing. So what they have to do, mainstream media sees the take. It has to make content out of it. So you have the Ariel Helwanis and the Busted Opens and all the different shows making content out of this, and then you have people who don't watch the product complaining about the product. Like, why? Because bravo to ESPN. They didn't share any of that stuff. They put the highlights on SportsCenter. They had interviews afterwards. And, like, it was exciting if you watched ESPN. They did a great job with their coverage. WWE did a great job with their stuff. Like, it's the fans that ruin it. They do. Because all they do is sit on the internet and complain about it. And you just make it. You look like fools. That's it. Because guess what? When you put it all together as a full package, WrestleMania was a pretty good show. Not the best WrestleMania of all time. And certainly not the worst.
No. Like, will this go down in history as the greatest WrestleMania ever? No. It will end up being middle of the wrong, which is fine.
Yeah, top 15, I think, right now.
Like, because
there's a lot of bad WrestleMania.
There are a lot of bad WrestleManias. Like, my whole thing is, you know, you want to go in, at least for me, when I watch the show, I judge it on whether it's a good or bad WrestleMania, if I was entertained by it, if I enjoyed watching it, if I had fun during it, because that's what it's for, right? Could I sit here and turn my brain off and not think about the horrors of the world for 4 hours of my life and just enjoy something? And the answer this time was yes, I could. I could genuinely turn my brain off and enjoy the show, right? Like, and that was the whole thing. So it's like goal achieved. I have a low bar. I'm sorry. I have low standards. Sue me.
But like, if you were entertained by the show, that's all that matters.
Exactly, because that's the purpose of it. So like, to me,
everyone ignored that fact.
But it's like, I don't walk into WrestleMania of, is this going to be the best WrestleMania ever? Because I feel like that is an impossible standard to achieve every year, because the best WrestleMania ever is subjective, because every WrestleMania is different for every single person. And we all have our opinions on it. So some people didn't like it. Some people didn't enjoy it. That's fine. Okay. We go again next year. We see if you like next year. But some people really love this show. Some people really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Guess what? I'll tell you now. Next year's is going to be worse.
Dude, security next year's going to be insane. They're going back in June, so we'll see how this goes.
We'll see how it goes. Because it's not, if this year didn't feel like WrestleMania to people, next year's going to feel a little bit different. And I've been saying that for months. It's going to feel different. But that's okay. We're going to deal with it. We'll grit our teeth and we'll go through it. But let's talk about night two.
We'll have fun while we're another, guys. But yes, let's talk about the show, because that's why people are here. They're not here to listen to us, bitch. So the show opened hot. And it's such a shame that Oba's not over. Like, I mean, you know, just nobody did his strut. Nobody cheered for him. Like, I'm kidding. Dear God. You had Oba Femi take on Brock Lesnar. No stip. Oba is so over. Oh my God, he's so over.
Oba Femi. Okay. I spent a lot of time on the internet talking about this. They made Oba Femi in one night. Brock Lesnar spent 6 weeks making Oba Femi. He showed up to every television that he was booked for, and every single time, Oba Femi looked strong. Every single time. Brock sold his finish, the first encounter, and every time since then, he made sure Oba Femi looked good. Then we got to this match, and he made Oba Femi look good.
Oh, he made Oba look like a boss. Like, it wasn't easy for Oba, but Brock did him a solid.
Brock did him a solid, but Brock knew this was his job. And Brock Lesnar, being a professional in the professional wrestling business, did everything that a professional wrestler should do to make the next guy. And he made the next guy on television. He made the next guy's finishing maneuver look like $1 million. And he sold it. He laid there for 3 minutes, sold the thing. And then we'll talk about what happened after. But he made him. And for the people who complain that this match went too short, it was the perfect amount. Because do you want to see them? Because all Brock can do at this point in his career, suplex, suplex, finish, or repeat. And you don't want to have Brock kicking out of the finish. That's the thing. You don't want him kicking out, because then in the first night, on the big stage for Oba Femi, Brock kicking out of the finish, you've killed the dude's finish.
Yeah.
You've wasted 6 weeks. No one, and I repeat, no one should kick out of the Oba's finish for a long time. Because when it happens, it has to be a spectacular moment. So when he gets in there with CM Punk or Roman Reigns or Drew McIntyre, whoever it is, no one should kick out of the finish. Because if you kick out of it, it's meaningless. And if you're making a star for the next 15 years, a finisher needs to matter. Like, that, like, Randy protects his RKO because it matters when he hits it. You have to protect the finish. And Brock made the finish, which made it perfect.
Oba's finish needs to be the equivalent of the F5 when the F5 first was debuted. Right? Yes. Like, for Brock. That's what it needs to equal out to. Like, to do apples to apples comparison, Oba needs to be handled like Brock was originally when he first debuted. And you just make Oba, no pun intended, a beast. And he just runs through people. Because Oba Femi is the one that has conquered the beast. He has put Brock Lesnar down. That is not a small thing. And for someone like Oba, who is kind of like just come up and is on the cusp of crossing from superstar to main roster superstar, like to main event superstar, this is big. He can take that moniker of the Conqueror and ride that for the rest of his goddamn career. Like he can say, I'm the one that put down Brock Lesnar for 20 years.
Yeah.
And own it. And that's the whole thing. And the way Brock sold for him afterward, I loved it. The fact that he just laid there, right? He's just like, I'm done. I'm so done. And it made Oba look fantastic. But what was great about this was after like Oba and Brock got in the ring, before they ever kind of sort of like really touched, they let the moment breathe.
Yep.
Right. And they just stood in the middle of this mass of humanity at WrestleMania and they let the fans react and they let that moment breathe. And it gave Oba a chance to really like take it all in and for Brock to really take it all in, because we didn't know what was coming at the end of this match. I don't think anybody did, except for Brock, obviously, and probably Hunter. But I would say even Heyman didn't know what was coming. But like, you had that moment breathe and then they got into it and it was wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Brock got a little offense in. They were equal up until Oba kicked it in and then he just whooped Brock's ass and left him laying. And that's exactly what you need to do. It shouldn't be a long, drawn out ordeal, right? It's Brock. Brock is coasting on his reputation at this point. He's coasting on, what, 20 years of being an ass kicker?
Yeah, 24 years of being in professional wrestling. Because he debuted in 2002. He was training in OVW in 2001. Or to even 2000 at that point. So he's been around for a long, long time. But he made his debut April of 2002.
Something like that, yeah.
And there was a gap of 9 years or something. But
we don't talk about that.
For the last 14, he's just been dominating people over and over again. For 14 years, he's Suplex City. All the thing. So after the match, it seems like he's retired. He left the boots in the ring, the gloves in the ring. Had an emotional moment with Heyman.
The Paul Heyman kicked me in the... Or the Paul moment kicked me in the feels. Because Heyman was crying. Like, Heyman was like... That whole moment where Brock starts taking... Because Brock sits there and he thinks about it. And then he's like, nah, I'm out. And he starts taking off his gloves. And everybody's like, wait, what? Like, what's going on? Because we all thought it was SummerSlam, right? Like, it's been rumored that Brock is going to retire this year. We've all heard it. We've all know that. And it was rumored it was going to be SummerSlam, and it was probably going to be Gunther, because he's now the retirement guy. When Brock started taking his gloves and his boots off, it's like, wait, what? He's retiring at WrestleMania? What? Or is this the setup for Gunther to come out and, like, kick Brock's ass? And that's not what happened, because, like, Heyman... is like the whole time he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And it's like when Brock threw the X up, which I haven't seen a lot of people talking about, because Heyman's like, no, 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 stop, stop, stop. What are you doing? What are you doing? Brock throws the X up and he's like, I'm done. It's like, that was a nice little moment, because that's when you knew. It's like, oh, I see what's going on here. Even if it was a work, which it was probably a work.
It is what it is. It'll set up whatever is going to come and being egged out of retirement. My favorite part was when Oba was leaving the ring, he did this whole little tip of the cap to Brock. That was my favorite part.
That was, hi, Tim. That was a really nice sort of sign of respect to Brock and a thank you to Brock for putting Oba over. Like, that was super duper nice. Here's the thing about Brock getting egged out of retirement. One of the only ways... I will accept it, because there are other ways, depending on who it is. The only way I will accept Brock coming out of retirement is if it's Oba, number one, because I think Oba deserves the accolade of being the one to defeat Brock and put him down and retire him. Because again, like we said earlier, he can ride that shit for the rest of his career. Gunther doesn't need it. He literally does not need to be the person that gets Brock's final match, right? It doesn't do anything for him. Let Oba have this, okay? Just let him have it. But one of the very few ways that I will accept Brock coming back at SummerSlam to retire in Minnesota, which is certainly his right, is if it is Oba. And Brock comes back for Oba. And it's been months and the loss has been eating away at him and he can't stand it, right? Like, his pride is such that he cannot stand the fact that that's how he went out. That he gave up, that he quit, right? Like, that's, it just eats away at him. He can't stand it. And so he comes back and he challenges Oba one more time to a fight, and Oba whoops his ass again. And that's that. But maybe you have a little bit more of a battle between the two. I don't know. But I think that's one of the very few ways that I will accept Brock coming out of retirement to have another match at this stage, at least for like a year or two. Now, if he wants to come back in a year or two and find somebody else, that's okay, because Oba will have gotten what he needs out of it. But in the beginning and right now, for at least the next year, the accolade needs to be Oba's, period. End of discussion. Because it's going to be what makes him, along with everything else. But it's going to be what makes him.
I would leave it as is. But they're never fighting. If Brock fights one more time, it's Gunther. And we all know that. As whatever the story you just pitched, it's fine, but it's not going to happen.
It should, though. That's my point. Gunther doesn't need it. Like, literally.
I understand that. He doesn't need it, but that's what they do.
I know that's what they do, but it's stupid. That's what I'm saying. It's stupid. Like, if your whole point is to make stars, Gunther is a star. Gunther is already good to go. Like, he doesn't need, you know, any other accolades to his name. He's already a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's not anywhere close to being done. You don't need to give him anything else. He could coast the rest of his goddamn career and be okay. Like, literally, that's how good he is right now. He could just fuck around if he wants. So, like, I feel like I've always felt like it's much better served to give it to somebody else. To give it to somebody who could take it and run with it, right? Like, I felt that way when Brock broke the streak. It's like, if the streak has to end, I would rather go to a young guy or somebody that they're trying to build up and turn into a star, because they can take that and they can use that and run with it, but they give it to Brock for whatever reason. And it's like, okay, fine, whatever, you know, we'll go with that. You know, I was somewhat okay with AJ retiring Taker because they were still trying to build AJ up at that point. And also, it's what Taker wanted, right? Like, Taker wanted to go out with AJ. And I don't think he knew it was his last match at the time. I think he thought he had one more in him. And then he got to the next year and he's like, oh, no, we don't. No, no. No, no. Soul is willing, body is not. But I don't know. Like, for whatever reason, I am vehemently against Gunther. Like, Brock coming out of retirement for Gunther. Just vehemently against it. Because I think it hurts Oba.
Oh, I don't think it hurts Oba. It doesn't. Because he was made at WrestleMania.
He was made with Mania, but it's like it takes some of the shine off of it a little bit. And if the intention is to let him use that, then it's like, eh.
I don't know if that's it might not be the intention. It's a match that made him. And that's it. So down the road, if Gunther retires Brock, then Oba beats Gunther, and then there's no problem there. Oba's got to beat everyone. Oba has to beat everyone.
Oba could retire Gunther.
Yeah, in 5 years, yeah.
It could be Oba. It's Oba's time.
That's the plan. So it was time. All right, what was the next match?
Up next, we had just massive stupidity. Penta, the Intercontinental Champion, took on Javon Evans, Dragon Lee, JD McDonagh, Rusev, and Rey Mysterio in a ladder match. This was fantastic on so many levels. Shout out to McDonagh. Shout out to Rusev. Shout out to Mysterio, shout out to Evans for all the stupidity that you did. Like that whole sitting pile driver on JD onto the ladder, that was nasty. That was so nasty looking.
It was awesome. It was a fun ladder match.
Is he okay? Because he just hit and then he ragdolled and he fell and it's like he's good, right?
JD died for our sins. A cleansing of the palate at WrestleMania. He just died for our sins, and everything's fine from there. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest ladder match of all time, but it worked for a spectacle. It drove people to see the show. A lot of people got to see it. By the way, people who complaining about wrestling ratings or the ratings that said, "Oh, hey, what's it called? Oh, WrestleMania only drew 1.8 million people on ESPN proper. We were thinking 3 million." Who in the right mind were thinking 3 million people were going to watch on ESPN? I'm sorry. When I was waiting for TV ratings, I thought we were going to get close to a million. Because you're trying to sell people on the app. So a lot of people are going to be watching there. And they probably did. So they did great on the rating. So it's like, whatever they did on ESPN, great numbers. A lot of people got to see a great ladder match. A lot of people got to see a brutal fight between Brock and Oba. Penta retaining? A little surprised. I thought they were going to give it to Javon Evans the way they talked him up for the weekend. but they stayed on Penta, and that's fine. It is what it is. Penta retains your Intercontinental Championship, and we move on, and we set up contenders on Monday Night Raw for his championship.
Yes. So the future for the IC title looks bright.
It does.
Up next, for your United States Championship, you have Sami Zayn, your champion, taking on Trick Williams and his train with Little Yachty in a... Is it wrong? I don't really remember the match and I just remember the train. Is that bad?
Because a lot of the match was Sammy just feeding off the crowd. It wasn't a technical classic. Trick got some moments in. Sammy got a little bit of moments in. But it wasn't a blowaway match. It went about maybe less than 10 minutes and people were so surprised that it went that little. But guess what? I talked about this, I think it was off the show with Brandon Casey. It's like, you look at Trick Williams, right? He is massively over with the crowd,
mm-hmm.
but he's limited in the ring. He's good for short spurts. If you go past 10 minutes, he's not the greatest and you kind of lose the audience. You kept the audience, you kept it around 10 minutes, and it was a solid match. And you gave Trick his moment by winning the championship. It's all you could ask mm-hmm. for. It was simple and effective. It was the start of the Trick Williams get celebration tour, which will continue probably on SmackDown. And we'll be seeing what Sammy does as a heel, most likely, because that seems to be the direction they're going, because the fans want it. We'll see how the fans react on Friday. If now that he doesn't have the title, will they still boo him, or will they cheer him again? That is the major question. I would give Sammy a break for a little bit if they're not looking to have him be booed all the time. They want him to be booed, put him in the ring and let heel Sammy run. But the match served its purpose. It gave Trick his first WrestleMania, gave him the championship, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. And he celebrated with his family and Little Yachty, and it was a great moment for Trick. Like, I will say this about this WrestleMania, this was about making people. This was about putting people over and building young new talent. At least for night two. We saw a lot of that on night two. So, yay! Love that for us. Woo! Oh, up next. The epicness that was the entrances. Dominic Mysterio, who had a pretty badass entrance, took on the demon, Finn Balor, in a street fight.
It worked. It went longer than I thought because I was pushing for the 3-minute thing, but you did the 3-minute match with Brock, so you can't do it here.
Yeah, you do. So you did have to fill time.
So you made the match stand out by bringing in weapons. You made it a street fight. It worked well. The demon's entrance was really cool. Dom had a really cool entrance.
I've missed the demon's music, even though I have it on my phone and I can listen to it literally whenever I want. There is something very special about hearing it on a wrestling show and seeing the entrance on the wrestling show. Like, there is an aura to that that has been sorely missed. And so to see it Sunday night and to see the reaction of the crowd and just the whole thing, it's like, ah, yes, we're back. We're so back. Thank God he's back. I think Dom played this perfectly. He did a wonderful job of being the cowardly heel. Like, he was hiding behind the announcers during the demon's entrance. He wanted no part of Finn during the match. And Finn was not playing nice with him. He was playing a little bit of roughness. And, you know, Dom was getting his looks in. Don't get me wrong. Like, there was definitely some back and forth. But the demon showed Dominic Mysterio who was boss in this one. And what I really enjoyed and what I really liked, there was no interference. There's none from the Judgment Day. The girls didn't roll up. JD was dead, so he couldn't do anything about it. But the girls weren't there. Liv did not come to help her mans. It was Finn, or it was Dom, all on his own. And, well, we saw the result, which is that Dom Mysterio got defeated, as he should have, by the demon at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was the right outcome. It was the right outcome for the match, because the demon had to win. It's the first time in 3 years we've seen the demon, and the last time he lost. So he needed a win.
Badly.
It worked.
So up next, a storm is coming. Rhea Ripley took on Jade Cargill for the Women's World Championship, or the Women's Championship, excuse me. This was a lot better than I thought this was going to be. I'm going to be really honest.
They kept it. They didn't over. If they went for a 15-20 minute match, you would have seen a lot of weaknesses. They kept it to about 10-11 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They made sure Jade looked strong. She did. She pulled out the One Winged Angel, which is Kenny Omega's finisher. And the internet got mad and mad until Kenny went, it's okay, it's fine, And it was cool to see my move in a WrestleMania ring. It was cool. It was fine. Internet, calm down. Because Kenny knows Jade. Because, like, the, you know, their AEW connection. So it's like, it was cool that she did it. I thought the match worked for what it was. You had some interference, but we all knew that was coming. You almost showed us everything she has a couple of times.
But Yeah, a strapless top was probably not the best call for that, but she pulled it out, you know, or she kept it in. She didn't pull it out. She kept it all in. She kept the girls in, you know, made sure they didn't go anywhere. So we were good. So it's fine.
And Rhea has the belt. Rhea has the belt. It was good. It was a good match.
Rhea has EO written on her wristband, which is really cute. I loved Rhea's gear. I liked the change from the white. The makeup was fantastic. I love Jade's gear. Like the robe that she came out in. Oh my God, that was amazing. And then the gear that she had on under was just chef's kiss. What I want to know is what they did to keep that headband on her head.
Super glue.
It had to be. I mean, I know that's a wig, right? Like we all know that's a wig. But like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I know how the wig is staying on her head. How is the headband staying on the wig? Like, she must have gotten some cosplayers or something to do that. Because, like, holy crap. Like, that thing just stayed put.
Yeah.
Because when she came out and she kind of was, like, walking in the ring, I was like, is she going to wrestle in the headband? Is she going to do that? I was like, okay. All right. Let's see how this goes. Because normally you see them, like, take all that stuff off to wrestle in. But it's like, nope, that is staying right where it is. Okay. But, yeah, like, I think it will be good for Rhea to go to SmackDown. I'm sad to see her go because I feel like I'll never see her again. But like, I think it will be good for her to reset and go to SmackDown. She gets a brand new set of contenders over there. And so that will be good for her. We see sort of a reset on Raw where now Liv is more in charge. She's the boss without Rhea there. She doesn't have to worry about her. And poor EO. Poor EO's all alone, which I was like, take your wife with you. They go as a set. Let her take her wife with her.
She cannot.
It's fine.
She cannot.
I know, but she should have been allowed to. And before your main event, we had the attendance announcement, which was done by John Cena. And, you know, we get the number and we're like, yay, attendance. Whoa, money. And then the stupidity started. And that's the only way I can describe this segment. It was utter stupidity. It was nonsense. It was tomfoolery. I loved the shit out of it. Every single second of this. I loved it. Because it was exactly what this show needed. Where you just sit there and you just laugh. But John Cena was in the ring. The Miz came out with one of the Pretty Deadlies. And Wilson. He was like... Kit Wilson. And he was like... Miz was like, I want my moment. I wasn't on this show. Blah, 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 blah. He's getting up face. He's had a bad weekend because he's been haunted by Danhausen the whole weekend. And well, who comes out?
Hold on. Before you go, my favorite part was, hi, Mike, I'm John. that was great. And then, you are...
John Cena. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. That was fantastic. Anyway, and then...
And then Danhausen with his mini housens. Because, yes, he had many housings, everybody, came out in a casket car, and he drove to the ring in a casket car being chased by the mini housings, which my favorite detail on the mini housings was they were dressed like the dancing girls.
Yeah.
They were wearing, like, the pseudo latex or spandex, shiny spandex, like, cat suits with the capes. And the wigs and the makeup and everything. I was like, oh, that's hilarious. But Danhausen comes to the ring because he's been stalking John Cena all weekend. He wants to meet John Cena. It's on his list of goals. And so Danhausen gets in the ring. He introduces himself to John Cena. And John Cena's nervous because Danhausen's been looking for him. And we all know what happens when Danhausen says those three little words. Bad things happen. So John Cena's nervous. And then Danhausen's like, love you, big fan, nice to meet you, and shakes his hand, and John Cena's all happy, right? Because Danhausen likes him. So they're friends now. And, you know, all the mini Lahousens, they're all dancing around, and they're happy because, you know, everything's going good. And then Miz and Kit, they just take offense. And they can't stand this. And I forget exactly what led to what, but all I know is that Kit Wilson took a fist to the nuts, and I believe so did the Miz. And then Danhausen hit the five knuckle shuffle. I'm trying to think of a Danhausen or the Knucklehausen shuffle, five Knucklehausen shufflehausen.
The five Knucklehausen. That's all you need to call it.
The five Knucklehausen, and hits it on the Miz, and then the Minihausen. They take the Miz away, and they're walking up the ramp with the Miz.
That was great.
It was fantastic. They're just walking away with the Miz. And then Danhausen's like, gotta go, bye! Hits the you can't see me, and a puff of smoke hits, and literally nothing happens. There's just an awkward stare between John Cena and Danhausen. They don't take the lights down. The Minihausens drop the Miz on the stage, and they run back to the ring. And then Danhausen makes a big show of trying to get under the ring as Wade Barrett and Michael Cole are commentating the whole thing. Cena is losing his shit in the ring. People are losing it in the arena. I'm losing it at home. This was utter stupidity.
John Cena was like, I'm so enjoying retirement.
He's like, this is so fucking funny. Like, he lost it in the ring. He just broke character, and he's like, this is amazing. My favorite part of this was not the segment, although the segment was really good. My favorite part of it is afterwards. They're taking John Cena to the back on a golf cart, and Danhausen is chasing Cena on foot with all the little Minihausens running behind him. It's like, why didn't you show that? That would be so perfect.
Sometimes you can't show everything.
I know, but god damn, that was so good. But yeah, this added a much needed moment of levity to the show before we headed into the very serious main event of Roman Reigns taking on CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship. Again, there was no interference in this, which was lovely. We did see lots of shenanigans, though, between Roman and Punk because, you know, they just referee discretion, Brent's favorite thing, just got things got let go. And yeah, like this was a WrestleMania main event in every sense of those words.
Yes.
Like Roman and Punk absolutely delivered in terms of the story, in terms of the match, in terms of the wrestling. This went about 30 minutes. And by the end of it, both of them were spent. I think my favorite spot was at the end where Punk goes to hit the GTS and then Roman like goes up and comes back down and like falls on Punk's shoulders. And Punk's able to potentially hit a second GTS, but he can't do it because he's so defeated. And then he just pancakes right on the mat. Yeah. And Roman like tries to do something and Roman pancakes, like they're both so exhausted. And then they're just like swinging at each other, but they're not really making any contact because they're both just spent. They've literally given everything they have to this and they're just spent.
They left it all in the ring. They left it all in the ring. CM Punk got to be the little wise ass shit that he normally is and turn it up a notch. But the two men had a fight. The referee's discretion worked. People were complaining about it on the internet. And then I'll reference back again to AEW. They used a table one time in a ring, or a table in a match that was a regular match, and no one was complaining. So they can use steel steps one time. It's referee discretion. It is fine. And by saying used it recently, it was a week ago Sunday that they did the same, that had discretion in their championship match. So all fair in love and war. But yeah, this match was really good. This was a WrestleMania main event. Probably will end up being, when we do a list down the road, one of the top tier main events in WrestleMania history, because it was two men who went out there, had a grudge with each other, a championship was on the line, and they worked.
Mm-hmm.
They had both had great entrances. The crowd was intense. Everyone was living for every moment. It was perfect. Roman winning. Love it or hate it, but he won. He's back. He's the champ. He's around for a bit. So, here we be.
I don't mind Roman being champ because I know it'll be fine. I think it gives Punk a little bit of a rest, which is possibly needed. Because Punk and AJ can kind of go away, get a little bit of a rest, come back refreshed. We talked about this on Monday. I think what I don't want out of this is the return of the bloodline. I don't think anybody really wants... Well, I'm sure some people do, but we don't want to go back to what it was a few years ago. We don't want that Roman Reigns. I think we want a different Roman Reigns. And so, like, his cousins being with him to celebrate the win, that's fine, right? Like, Monday night, that was great. But, like, moving forward, it should be Roman on his own. And he should be doing his own thing. We should not be going back to my tribal chief and this and that and the other thing. it should just be Roman being Roman, and he should have the really the capability to carry this on his own, because that was really the whole point of the Bloodline, was to make Roman as well as the others, but really get Roman over as a singles wrestler, because they were having massive problems with it before that. And what sort of ironically saved Roman was the fact that he did get sick. He had to go away, and then he came back, and that helped. But like, in the end, turning Roman heel, forming the Bloodline, and doing that was the best thing for Roman Reigns' career, because I think without that, it wouldn't have worked nearly as well. Like, I think they eventually would have gotten him over, but I think it helped to make him, because it insulated him in a way that he did not have to carry nearly as much on his own, whereas now I think he can do that solo.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I thought, like we said at the top of the show, night two was definitely a better offering than night one, which it had less matches, it had less commercials. But like, I think the wrestling and the stories were a little bit stronger on night two versus night one, and that's fine. I think overall the show was better balanced than it was last year. Because like last year they had, or a couple years ago, they had like all the tag team matches on like one night, all the women's matches on one night. This year they did a much better job in balancing the matches, and so you had a nice even flow throughout the both nights. It's just you had better stories, or it feels like you had better stories on night two.
You got a better main event, so it left a better taste in your mouth, and you made a big star to start the show. You opened strong, you closed strong, and that was the difference between night one and night two.
Like, the thing about night one is the main event wasn't that bad.
No. It wasn't that bad, but it left a sour taste in people's mouth. And that's because everyone came in with this notion of celebrities and hatred for it. So they were automatically going to hate it. So that was part of it. Randy coming in a little injured, the match was not as top tier as it probably would have been if Randy wasn't fully healthy. As we've learned, the celebrities are out now. Pat's gone. He pulled the kibosh on the angle. He's done. Jelly Roll's done for now. They're like, we're done. Or Pat was like, we're done. I'm out. He isn't doing the angle. That's why he's no longer in the wrestling business. So we can go back to Cody Randy and telling the story. They tried something. Did it work? We'll see in long term if it worked. But this was a good WrestleMania as a whole. I think people, when you look back at it, they'll be like, all right, that was all right. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. It wasn't the best. Because they didn't have the room to be the best because of the new landscape that they're in. But the matches that needed to deliver, and you made up for it a lot on night two, delivered. And that's with every event we talk about. If the thing that's supposed to deliver delivers, it's a success. That's what it is.
And just to reiterate about night one, the match itself, like, you can say what you want about the build. Okay, you can say what you want about the build. I am of the opinion Pat McAfee did not need to be a part of it, that Jelly Roll didn't need to be a part of it, but they were there, so whatever. In terms of the main event of night one, Jelly Roll and Pat McAfee were there for literally 5 minutes, and then they were gone.
Before the bell.
And then we had pretty much the entire match before Pat McAfee came back. And then he was there in a referee capacity. He wasn't there to be a wrestler.
And he was there for 30 seconds.
Yeah, and then he was gone again. So I think, like, Pat McAfee being part of the match, I don't think it takes away from anything. I don't think it ruins anything. Like, if that's what ruins the match for you, then I'm terribly sorry. Because I thought the match between Cody and Randy was fine. Randy being a little hurt, yeah, that did detract. That took away, and I'm sorry that Randy wasn't feeling great. I'm sure he would have loved to have been at 100%, but he couldn't, and that's fine. He still gave it his all. Cody still gave it his all. And I thought the match was really good. Like, for what it was. Like, I thought it was perfectly solid. Like, man, y'all just gotta walk in with no expectations. I'm sorry. I know that's really difficult for some people, but it's like, just take it for what it is. You don't have to like everything. That's fine. Not everybody's gonna like everything. But, like, don't, if you're going to walk in with a negative opinion and you're not going to let the match change your negative opinion, then you're wasting your time, because you're going to hate it no matter what. So it doesn't matter if you watch it or not. Like, are you only watching it so you can bitch about it? Is that it? To say that you did it and then you can complain on the internet about it? Like, I just don't understand it. Like, if you are not going to enjoy something, why are you going to sit through it? There's so many other things you could do. I've never understood that, but it is what it is, I guess. I don't know.
It is what it is.
But we're done. That was WrestleMania. We have another 51 weeks before WrestleMania comes back around again.
Ish.
Ish.
Could be earlier.
You know, honestly, I'm gonna say this. Y'all could put it before fucking Easter, that would be great. Because I think that is my one issue with this WrestleMania cycle this time, is it was long. It was really long. And I think it actually hurt them a little bit to have that much time.
I don't know. Anyway, are we done?
We're done. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Alright, we're going to use the last bit of this voice and then get the hell out of here. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. It's another edition of CB Radio. We're back live. We're doing something. I don't know what yet. It's on the schedule. I'll have to figure it out. But 11:30 Eastern, CB Radio. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday, it's the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, we're live to talk all about it. And we're back for the Rack, live on May 7th.
May 7th, guys, May 7th. We're taking next week off.
So the Rack is back on May 7th. So just put it in the calendar, note it, no Rack next week. Stay up to date at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, at Rack Radio Show, on all social media platforms, wherever you get the podcast, or search the Rack Radio Show. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, just Prime. Click the purple button. Support the channel for free. You can use creator code RocketSock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the vote night at Adam Sharp at GameStore when you buy Ben 10 this weekend. Because why not? And so much more, because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You know, if you guys ask Rock really, really, really nicely, maybe he'll stream WWE 2K26, or maybe he'll stream some Fortnite for you next Thursday. But you have to ask him really nicely. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SummaLynn's Ward, and you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell Matt we said hi. This is Overrock, I'm Lindsay Ward, you've been listening to The Rack, and we will see you in 2 weeks! Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.